Hello and welcome to the Global Energy Transition Podcast, presented by the Heinrich Böll Stiftung European Union and the Global Energy Transition Blog. I am your host, Michael Buxbaum, lead blogger, photojournalist, and advisor to theenergytransition.org. Though I am based in Germany, our podcast series reviews how the energy transition is developing globally while we discuss and focus upon solutions to the growing climate emergency. Like the blogs we publish, all of our materials fall under a Creative Commons license and are therefore free for anyone to use, so long as you credit the material. As the climate crisis envelops us, we intend for this podcast series to inform listeners about other additional tools being developed to deal with what's ahead. Though we may not all be in the same boats, we all face the same gathering storm. On a shelf behind me, as I record this podcast intro, sits a shiny black lump of hard coal given to me by a former underground miner in Romania this summer. Literally a tiny piece of this relatively small and comparatively poor nation tucked into the southeastern corner of Europe, coal has played an outsized role in Romania's modern development and national identity. Coal mining and the burning of it to generate electricity and heat or to make steel became and still is one of Romania's core industries. With the best deposits located more or less in the middle of the nation, starting almost two centuries ago, workers began deep mining coal in the picturesque Jiu Valley at the edge of Transylvania. Nestled underneath the Carpathian Mountains, by the mid-1990s, some 50,000 coal miners were still toiling in over a dozen mining complexes strung throughout the Jiu Valley, which had become a mono-industrial urban area. Flowing south out of this valley, the Jiu River long ago carved a spectacular canyon through the Carpathians, spilling out into what is today Gorj County. One of the sunniest regions in Europe, much of Gorj's forests and rolling prairies have been decimated over the years, as surface miners dig into their soil to unearth the thick layers of crumbly brown lignite coal that lies beneath it. That coal then feeds into the towering power plants of the state-owned Oltenia Energy Complex, or CEO, which today generates some 20% of Romania's electricity. Dating back to before it joined the European Union in 2007, Romania has long had a diverse energy mixture. Today it is the EU's second largest oil and fossil gas producer, and newly discovered offshore deposits could vault it to first by the end of the decade. Beyond fossil gas and coal, hydroelectricity generates significant portions of its energy, as well as wind and solar. But Romania's coal and lignite is by far and away its most polluting industry. And for years, environmentalists within and without the country have been pushing for a coal phase-out. Finally, this summer, as a condition of the €29.2 billion Recovery and Resilience Plan Romania signed with the European Commission, it agreed to stop coal mining and burning by 2032, while simultaneously ramping up renewable capacity. Bucharest's decision to phase out coal coincided with me winning a fellowship from the International Journalist Program to report on Romania's energy transition. This enabled me to travel there and spend several weeks mixing with miners, local politicians, and activists pushing for a just transition in the coal regions of Gorj County and the Jiu Valley, as well as meet with regional and national policymakers in Bucharest. Shortly after I left Romania at the end of September, several things happened. The fragile coalition government fell, COVID surged, and Bucharest amended its coal phase-out plan to include much more biomass, and, with help from the United States, it struck a deal to build a fleet of experimental small nuclear reactors to help replace its coal fleet. With the current surge in energy prices throughout Europe, and with much of their population impacted by a growing energy poverty, Romania's new government found another scapegoat to blame: renewable energy producers and environmental NGOs. Throughout this podcast series, beginning with Energy Ministry State Secretary Dan Dragon, you will hear excerpts of interviews with several politicians, energy policy experts, and campaigners deeply involved in Romania's power move. two notes for listeners. You can read more about Romania over our series of energy transition blog posts on the subject, and since several of these interviews were not recorded in ideal situations, please pardon a few audio shifts. Stay tuned. Thank you again for meeting with me, State Secretary Dragon. After years of pressure, your government has finally announced a coal phase-out plan to take place over the next decade. Could you clarify how you plan to undertake this complex transition?
As Mr. Popescu announced, for hard coal, there was a decision that had been done that we would like to have the phase-out of hard coal by 2030, and after that to have 2 years of rehabilitation of the sites and bringing them to the normal landscape. This period, transition period, it's foreseen to be for 2 years until 2032. Regarding the lignite, as you may know, we are now in the process of discussion with the European Commission, with DG Competition, where we proposed a reconversion plan to the Oltenia complex, lignite energetic complex. And this reconversion plan prevents its seeing transfer of the production of electricity from the fossil intensive generation facilities to renewables and gas, flexible gas, hydrogen readiness.
So this will be a fuel switch from lignite to fossil gas or natural gas and then to potentially hydrogen.
No, all the generation facilities in Oltenia, rehabilitation plan, there are foreseen to be commissioning 725 MV in PV plants and around 1.2 gigawatt to be installed in CCGT already with hydrogen capabilities up to 40% based on the technology that is available today. Why we are seeing to develop also these generation facilities on gas to do the fact that we'll need stable generation facilities and flexible and efficient that will give the opportunity to connect to the grid more renewables capacities. As you may know, the coal represent, depending on the years, around 20 up to 23 of our generation in Romania, the electricity that it's produced and consumed in the system. Therefore, we will need some flexible capacities because there are not so many, it's just one near to Bucharest, one that is in construction but is very small, around up to 400 MV. And therefore, cutting out in future these generation facilities on lignite, we'll need to replace them with some flexible capacities because it will not be possible to make this flexibility with nuclear generation units that are existing in Chernobyl.
Are we talking about more fossil gas and about more hydrogen produced from fossil gas mined here in Romania?
No, in our strategy, we would like to promote green hydrogen. So all the hydrogen that will be supported through different mechanisms like recovery and resilience plan or from 10D regulation and modernization fund will be generation facilities that will produce hydrogen without any other CO2 emission. That means green hydrogen.
So from solar or for wind? From wind.
Solar, wind, hydro, if it's possible, why not? Okay. We are looking at all this, but with no additional CO2 emission.
So no gray hydrogen from fossil gas or blue hydrogen, for that matter, using carbon capture and sequestration?
For the moment, I don't know if there is a stable technology to do such things, but we are focusing on the part of green hydrogen.
I interrupted State Secretary Dragon at this point to ask him how, given that there are potentially billions of euros in EU funding now being made available to help Gorj County transition away from coal, how his office will ensure that this transition occurs justly so that these communities are not left behind like so many have been in Juy Valley.
We know the history, and we know that today, for example, Oltenia have around more than 7,000 employees, and another, I think, more than 3,000 are directly linked through different companies that are suppliers or working with the Oltenia complex. What is important, you know, that we'll have to, at the end, to separate these two main issues. One is the electricity production, which we have to make this transition from fossil to renewable and to secure the safety of the grid. And also we have the social aspect that we'll have to take care and to assure that, as you already mentioned, no one is left behind. And here for this transfer from fossil to renewable, we have allocated some money, as I already mentioned, through Recovery and Resilience Plan and through the Modernization Fund. And for the transfer, requalification, and giving the opportunity for the people that have been employed in these companies to make a change in their lives and to have the opportunity to perform and to work further on, there is the Just Transition Fund at the disposal of Ministry of Investment and the European Fund and Ministry of Local Development.
Next, I asked Dragan about the restructuring plan for the state-owned Oltenia Energy Complex, or CEO. The nation's second-largest employer, CEO's power plants, which generate a combined fifth of Romania's electricity, constitute by far and away its single largest source of pollution.
This plan is today in discussion with the Commission, especially with DG Comp. We have a fair and opening discussion, and I am positive that in the next couple of months, I would like to have by the year end, to have a positive plan, because with this plan approved, then we can move quite fast in order to realize these PV plans. That will gonna help also us to reach our climate targets, because there are big PV plants, and 700 MV installed will be a hit also for the people that already work there. They will be involved for 2-3 years in rehabilitation of that sites. All mining sites will be covered with land. And then over the land will be the PV panel will be installed. There, all these things will need additional workforce from the area and requalification of this workforce. And therefore, the first one that can be start earlier, they are the project of the PV panels. And that will be followed by the two generation facilities and rehabilitation also of the micro hydropower plants, that's around 9.9 MV on the Jiu River. So all these works that are foreseen to make this transition will need people to work. And we estimated that for a period of around 5 years, a significant part of the people that will be lie off from Oltenia or from Hunedoara will be involved in these activities.
As our interview came to a conclusion, Secretary Dragan made a rather sweeping statement, all the more curious since, at the time, the government he was a part of was in crisis and, just a few weeks later, would fall.
I'm quite positive that at the end of this decade, we'll have 70% will be renewable in our generation facilities, from solar, wind, hydro, and the rest time we are seen to be from a small part from gas in order to make the balancing of the grid, and the rest of the nuke, which is CO2 neutral.
To help unpack Dragan's statements, I turned to several experts I met with during my time in Romania, starting with Dan Dobre, a campaigner with Bankwatch Romania. Bankwatch CEE is an NGO helping organize a network of environmental and human rights groups in Central and Eastern Europe. And, like Dan, Bankwatch is immersed in campaigning for a just coal phase-out in Romania. With COVID numbers exploding across Bucharest and the government collapsing, when I interviewed him, Dan was nevertheless confident that the coal phase-out would happen as planned.
The national energy strategy is being discussed since, I think we have a final version now. It has been discussed for almost 10 years and we had 7 different versions from 7 different governments. The fragmentation of decision making and the lack of continuity is for sure a huge problem. But I would say if the coal phase-out date and a bit of a coal phase-out plan that we do have in the National Recovery and Resilience Plan, I think it still holds water. I think we can go forward with that. I don't think it's going to change. It has been approved with the Commission. So if a document is approved with the Commission, usually it doesn't change fundamentally, I would say.
Let's be hopeful. It's more fun to be hopeful.
Yeah. I think in this case, it's not just being hopeful. I think it's a strong possibility for at least the coal phase-out date to not change in the direction of becoming even less ambitious.
With the coal phase-out plan coming together, I asked Dan what role he and Bankwatch will play going forward.
My focus lately is more on the just transition part. Also because the situation in Romania is changing. We have a coal phase-out date, so maybe it's not much room to fight the coal operators. Maybe it's time to work alongside them as their industry is disappearing.
And though both these coal regions are practically next to each other, separated only by a mountain range, Jiu Valley is struggling some 20 years post-coal, but Gorge, by contrast, is thriving.
Yeah, so because of the fact that the transition in Jiu Valley started on economic grounds in the 90s, so from 40,000 people working at the energy complex, now it's only 4,000. The effects of the transition have already been felt in the region significantly. In the last few years, Oltenia in Gorj, Oltenia Energy Complex in Gorj, also laid off a few thousand people. In the last 4 years, I think it was 3,000 people, mostly administrative personnel and just trying to make the company more efficient. But we could see Jiu Valley is a good example of what the transition will look like if we don't have a clear plan of what we want for the future. So I think there is a bit of trying to make Gorj look at Jiu Valley to see what the future holds for them if they don't have a plan and they don't want to work together to create a plan that benefits everyone.
So Jiu Valley's situation is something of a non-example for people in Gorge then. It's of how they don't want the coal transition there to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of European examples for sure, but having one that's your neighbor, I think, is more powerful than looking at Poland and Germany and other countries. And I think this is also the reason why Jiu Valley is much more advanced when we are discussing the just transition, because there is still, even though we have a coal phase-out date, even though this has been assumed by the Ministry of Energy, there are still stakeholders and also politicians in Gorj that are not convinced by this, and they are still saying that coal will function freely in the future. So because of the bad experience of Jiu Valley that it had for like 20 more than 20 years, they are much more available to try to find solutions and work together and try to find ways to diversify the region economically.
Let's get back to the coal situation today. There's about 4.5 gigawatts of coal-fired power on the grid right now. How does that break down between hard coal and lignite?
More than 90% of it is lignite. So hard coal makes up for, I think, for 7% of the whole coal capacity in Romania. Yeah, and also lignite in Romania is one of the worst quality in Europe. So, and it's becoming worse every year. So just in the last 2 years, the amount of coal burned went up by 5%. And the energy production went down by 5%. So
wow.
they are burning a lot of earth, ground.
At their surface mine, CEO uses a fleet of giant steel excavators that, as they bench down to the coal, they tear through native forests as well as the soil and substrata, leaving behind something of a moonscape in their wake.
On top of that, it's also the small villages nearby, some of that, them not that small, who have been expropriated in the past. People were moved. A huge social impact. Lives of the people were destroyed by this sometimes. So, and we had examples of lack of proper compensation. They've been expropriated without being paid for the type of land that they own. They just had an amount of money on square meter, but without taking into account the fact that they had houses or the land was used for agriculture or whatever. So, or the fact that the land had the forests on it. So we also worked on this, and we also had a few actions in court trying to help the people who are being expropriated against their will because of the expansion of the mine. And also some people wanted to move and to be expropriated because living near a mine is the worst place to live probably. So you have all the dust, you have all the noise, the lack of water, because no drinking water is available in this villages. So the life is not great in those areas. So some people actually do want to move just to get out of that situation.
And you mentioned that one of the plans for CEO is that they'll shut these coal-fired power plants down and build gas-fired power plants, but at the same point in time, they're going to use some of the thousands of hectares that have been destroyed. They will convert those brownfields to vast solar panels and solar arrays. Can you discuss more of that? Describe more of that?
I would say, like, if we look at all the reports that have been done on the places, best places for solar capacity in Romania, because of being situated in the south, Gorj region has a lot of sun, and also it's really useful to use the land that's been destroyed by the mining. So, and it cannot be used for agriculture or anything else. Regarding the gas discussion, we are campaigning against the gas transition because we'll also need to phase out gas soon enough. So as the region goes through a coal phase out and the transition is hard on the region economically, to lock it in another future transition we think is totally irresponsible from the side of the government. So We are also having a campaign against the gas bridge, as they call it.
All that said, there are transition projects coming into Jiu Valley. There are new retraining programs there for retired or laid off miners, and you have local acceptance there in Gorj as well of plans for a post coal future. That fact alone that this is happening is a huge step. No,
I think if A few years ago, we would talk about the fact that the local administration of Jiu Valley will have regular discussions with the European Commission on the future of Jiu Valley. People would be very skeptical that you're telling the truth. If we would think that the county council of Gorj would propose for their county to be the first green county in Romania, even though it's the grayest county of Romania at the moment, has the biggest emissions because of the coal power plants. I think these are totally unexpected and revolutionary ideas. They will materialize more or less for sure, but the discussions that are already starting in the regions make a huge, huge difference and speak to the fact that opinions and visions of the people for the future are changing for sure.
Dan, thanks for sharing all this with our audience. To get another perspective, I contacted fellow bank watcher Laura Nazare, who serves as their energy transformation campaign coordinator, focusing on European funding. But with a background in economics and law, Laura is tasked with closely monitoring how the Romanian government will spend the funds it's receiving from Brussels.
Well, as regards the recovery and resilience funds, of course, the authorities are must implement a monitoring committee, must establish this administrative body in Romania to monitor the implementation of the investments set out in the recovery plan. Hopefully, this monitoring committee will take up also representatives of the civil society, which I hope they will have more than an informal role in this monitoring process. As regards the cohesion funds for the next financing period, monitoring committees for the national operational programs have been already put in place, and we in Bankers Romania have been elected members in this monitoring committees. My impression is that if this monitoring process, both from administrative bodies here in Romania, but also from institutions at the EU level, if this monitoring process is done correctly and implemented in a proper way, I think the corruption and wrongful decisions could be very much limited. But yeah, it's a good thing that if we are planning to do investments with European funds, there are some measures in place that prevent a misuse of this funds. So at national level, to be honest, it's harder to steal from the European funds than from the state budget. So that's why I'm putting my hopes in a efficient and proper monitoring process, and I hope that everyone engaged in this will do their job and won't take a step back.
I can see by the smile in your face that you're not really hopeful. Yeah, you're.
Well, I'm hopeful for me because I'm a member in this one monitoring committee, and I hope that I will do anything in my power to prevent any bad decisions or fishy situations or something like that. And given the role that I have, like on a representative of an NGO, I think it's in my power to pinpoint and name and shame authorities when they're not doing their job properly. And hopefully, yeah, we will raise awareness more on these issues and keep authorities accountable.
Since no one wishes the planned coal phase-out to be any more painful to Romania's coal regions, I asked Laura how Bankwatch and other NGOs are working to ensure a just transition.
Well, I like to think that we in Bankwatch Romania had had a great contribution to the start of the just transition process, at least in Hunedoara country, because we were there at the very beginning when all the discussion around just transition started, and when the coal region for the coal platform for regions in transition was established. We went there and got the mayors together from the Jiu Valley, put them together. We talked with them and and presented all the opportunities they had if they pursued this this process. And so somehow we started the conversation on the just transition issue there. Of course, in collaboration with other NGOs. Since then, Romanian coal regions have already submitted their territorial just transition plans to the National Ministry of European Investments and Projects. This happened at the end of May. These plans will allow them to tap into the Just Transition Fund provided by the EU for the transformation away from coal. But yeah, proper planning at this level, including project proposals, mitigation of social impacts of mine and plant closure, have not yet been started. And hopefully this will change once the decarbonization law is approved and contains a clear timeline and directions for the coal phase out. I mean, it's one thing that we have a coal phase out date announced, but it's another thing that we establish and put forward a coherent legislative framework for this to happen. What I can say more about this is that, for example, in Hunedoara County, the hard coal phase out will lead to the dismissal of 4,000 employees in the thermal power plants and mining areas. To solve this, social protection measures have been proposed, such as compensatory wages, reducing the retirement age. But of course, these are not a viable solution for the younger staff, for example, who can reintegrate more easily into the labor market. But an example of an initiative meant to help this approach belongs to the Romanian Wind Energy Association, which started a program from retraining the personnel in mining areas and other areas in energy transition, which is great if you ask me. So yeah, this is for the hard coal area, but in Gorj County, the lignite area, the situation is even more delicate. Although the territorial just transition plan identifies other opportunities for economic development, the Oltenia Energy Complex does not seem to want to take advantage of this opportunity. It is unclear what will happen to a large part of the 12,000 employees, but also to those in related fields whose occupation supports the activity of coal-based electricity production. It is unclear because the decarbonization plan of the Oltenia Energy Complex is still under negotiations with the EU Commission, and no final decision has been taken yet in this regard. So we will see exactly how the coal phase-out process will happen here.
How is Romania's energy transition supposed to be financed? Will the government issue green bonds, or will most of this be paid for by European funds?
Well, energy transformation will mostly be financed from European funds, whether we're talking about recovery funds or cohesion ones. Apart from that, on national level, the green bonds issuance is still at the beginning, and the green budgeting process is not yet implemented. It's a measure that's been set up in the recovery plan, the one regarding the green budgeting. So it's expected to be implemented and by 2023, if I'm not mistaken. We're putting all our hopes on European funds, and hopefully we will use this money wisely.
In the recent past, Romania stopped a lot of incentives to expand renewables. Going forward, is Bucharest now developing plans for new renewables to be paid for through public-private partnerships, through PPAs?
Well, as regards public-private partnerships, from what I know currently, there are no plans to use this instrument for investments in the energy sector. I know there have been used for investments in transport, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't know if they're planning to use this for energy as well. Other support mechanisms, for example, they're planning for the renewable sectors. So they want to implement contracts for difference, to reintroduce the power purchase agreements, and also setting up a tender procedures for additional renewable capacities, as this has been stated in the recovery plan. But as regards the PPPs, there is no information that the government is planning to use these.
The Romania has one of the most diverse energy resource mixes in Europe and is the EU's second leading producer of fossil gas. On the renewable side, though there are significant capacities of installed hydro and wind and solar, this is just a fraction of what's possible. Though Gorj has some wind potential, studies show that Gorj County has the best solar potential of any mining region in the EU outside of Spain. Laura, what's the status of renewables there as of the summer of 2021? What's the potential going forward, and what's holding back investments?
Yeah, it has a lot of potential, which unfortunately is still untapped. So just to start from the beginning and to provide you like more technical information, Romania has set a 2030 renewable target at 30.7%, despite the European Commission recommending at least 34%, because yes, Romania has this great unused renewable potential. But at the moment, Romania has no coherent support system to help reach this target, and no capacities were installed after 2016 when Romania met its 2020 target. So Romania's potential to produce energy from renewable sources is significant. This is proven by the diversified energy mix, as you mentioned, as well as by various analysis placing Romania amid the fittest European regions for investments in the renewable energy sector. Of all renewable energy sources available in Romania, the most widely used are wind, solar, and hydropower. We have this hydropower capacities already been built during the communist era, but when we are talking about wind and solar, for example, to harness Romania's solar resources, this could lead to installing a total capacity of 4,000 megawatts and producing at least 4.8 terawatt hour of energy per year. While in the case of the onshore wind, this potential is estimated to 23 terawatt hour per year by installing a total capacity of roughly 14,000 megawatts. So this is huge. Huge. And if we are going to talk about the offshore wind sector, which is currently slowly explored, the estimates of the World Bank, for example, pinpoint that the technical development potential of offshore wind capacities in Romania is at least 76 gigawatts. So this is huge. And although the benefits of developing this economic segment are considerable, we still see the little interests of the authorities to put in place a coherent framework for a sustainable development.
There's no argument that the capacity is there, that there is no lack of interest and will from the EU, from local businesses and Romanian citizens. But what support is there from the government to help move solar and renewables forward?
Well, the support scheme for renewable energy was introduced in 2008 and was represented by the mandatory quota system and the acquisition of green certificates by the electricity suppliers. Of course, various legislative changes took place in 2012, 2013, 2017, aiming to prevent defrauding the system or to increase the predictability of the support scheme. The result was, of course, the complete opposite. The support scheme became unpredictable, which led to the decrease in confidence of the new investors in renewable energy because of the legislative instability and to limited access of small producers to the energy system. As such, at the moment, Romania has no coherent support system for sustainable development of the renewable sector. Nevertheless, we currently have in place some financing programs for developing the prosumer sector, for example, or for investments in renewable energy sources for homes that are not connected to the electricity grid. But again, the results are not very promising. The reason for this are, many delays and administrative bottlenecks as usual. So this is what happens in terms of renewable energy. But when we are talking about, for example, retrofitting public and private buildings, these type of works have also been financed through national and local programs. But In fact, these focus mostly on energy efficiency measures and to a lesser extent on implementing renewable energy alternatives to buildings.
When I interviewed Secretary Dragan in Bucharest, we spoke at length about how the government intends to help citizens become prosumers, to be able to put solar panels in their homes and make money from that. And one should note, at 96%, Romania has the highest rate of home ownership, not only in Europe, but in the world. And Dragan recognized that it's really red tape that is largely stopping more Romanians from installing panels.
Well, yes, bureaucracy is still one of the main bottlenecks for investments, whether we are talking about private investments or public ones. So this comes along reduced administrative capacity and decisional inconsistency. Barriers still exist. For example, given the, as regards the renewable energy sector, despite the available financial resources for the last financial period, only 7.8% of the investments regarded this sector. So it's very, very little. And this, the authorities should pay more attention to this and try to understand why this happened. Because we had a huge amount of money available for renewable energy projects, but only 7.8% of the investments were in renewables. So I bet this is because bureaucracy is like a killer for any investor that decides to do something here in Romania. And yeah, for both renewable energy and energy efficiency investments, the authorization, the funding and implementation processes, these need to be simplified. And of course, to increase the stability and predictability of the legal framework is still a very much important requirement.
Laura, thank you for taking the time to share this with our audience, and good luck in your role as watchdog going forward. Mulțumesc.
Thank you, Michael. Plăcere.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in and staying tuned in. Once again, I'm your host, Michael Buxbaum, and you have been listening to the Global Energy Transition Podcast, a new series presented by the Heinrich Boll Stiftung European Union and the Global Energy Transition blog. You can follow us on Facebook at global.energy.transition and on Twitter at Energiewende GER. You can find me at L. Michael Buxbaum. For this podcast, the first of several treating Romania, I'd like to thank our guests, Energy Ministry State Secretary Dan Dragan and Bankwatch campaigners Dan Dobre and Laura Nazare. Join us next time for Laura's reaction to Romania's new nuclear strategy, how Bankwatch and other NGOs are being blamed for Romania's higher energy prices, and how EU funds are helping support retraining programs there for miners. A big thanks as well to Rebecca Pop at the climate think tank E3G for pointing me in the right directions, Vlad Katuna at Greenpeace Romania for lots of introductions, Elena, Tony, and Sebastian in Gorge County for wheeling me around and translating mining speak into English, and Adina, Hannah, Eddie, and Simona for doing the same in Juy Valley. Please look for links to Bankwatch, Beyond Coal Europe, and 2 Celsius in our show notes. Thanks also to the Energy Transition team in the EU office in Brussels, Lisa Tostado, Martin Keim, and Juan Lanfranco. Thanks also for your edits and support, Dr. Seuss. And lastly, a huge shout out once again to our podcast's amazing producer, the sound guru, left-handed bassist, and new Baseball Hall of Famer, Christian Kreienborg. From the former German capital city of Bonn, I wish you all smooth sailing on what may be rough seas ahead.